Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Oh, that time of the year, boys. Mm-hmm. Love the Today Show Dad segment we get together. It's so fun.
That's right, because every year we're kind of zen. Chill.
Talk
reflective. Something different, something we haven't done.
Taking it up?
Some crazy.
Taking it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Love it.
Beer and barbecue.
Let's do
that's
it.
That's on the edge.
Don't forget the bourbon.
Speaking my language.
Pig Beach Barbecue in Queens, New York was the perfect spot to get all fired up. And it didn't hurt that one of our favorite Today Show chefs, Matt Abdu, is the master of the meats at Pig Beach.
Oh, wow, boys.
Coming in.
Oh.
Here we go. So we have the entire barbecue gambit for you guys. Pulled pork with tangy vinegar barbecue sauce. And we have our fried chicken sandwich, our barbecue buffalo wings with Alabama white sauce, and our legendary award-winning Pig Beach burger.
Oh, my God.
Woo! Happy Father's Day, gentlemen. Great having you with us
today.
Love you
guys.
Thank you.
So, gentlemen, what's been the highlight of fatherhood so far this year?
Wow, man. I've really been thinking about it. And I think the art of fatherhood is trying to slow down the hands of time. Because 6 months, 1 year, I'll even go as far as it's going too fast.
Yep.
We talk about this all the time because mm-hmm. Al's empty nested. But now it's just every day trying to take in the moment. I'm in the moment. Even if it's a bad moment, I want to stay in that moment. Because they're going to be out of the house before I know it.
I know. I'm sort of in between. You've got young kids, the two of you. Al's on the other side of it. And I'm in the middle with a couple of teenagers. And I really, really feel, especially what you're talking about right now.
Right.
With a daughter who's a couple of years from going away to
college.
2 years. 2 years. I don't know, man. You can't believe because it does. It's such a cliche, but it feels like a minute ago you were carrying that car seat out of the hospital. Like yesterday.
Yep.
And then the next thing you know, she's over in the driver's seat driving you around. Getting ready for getting ready to get her permit. And so
Lucy's gonna drive us all home out of here.
She is. She's our driver.
She's gonna have to.
She's permitted in the state of New York. It's all good. But yeah, it is. It's that thing where you go, oh gosh, what are all the things we haven't done? She's gonna go to college in 2 years. We gotta go on this trip. We gotta go all these things that you thought you had infinite time at the beginning. And it's ticking really fast.
And you've got the littler one, the smaller ones.
Yeah. Well, my son and I. Like we connect over sports. We bond over sports.
Yeah.
And my daughter and I, this is the first year where I start to feel like we don't have the same sort of connection yet.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to find that thing that she and I are going to be able to bond
over. It's called hair. You gotta do hair. I got three girls, buddy. I've been YouTubing how to French braid.
So I need to learn that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll blow her mind.
Yeah.
You're at a completely different point
now.
Well,
it's the craziest thing. I mean, you talk about, you're carrying them, and then all of a sudden you realize your oldest is carrying a baby. We're maybe a month out from being grandparents.
Wow.
And that is kind of mind-boggling. You know, it's all, especially now, and you've got girls, you've all got girls, and you're going to come to this point where your girls start dating and then they're older. But then, they're in different, my kids are in different, I mean, Courtney's expecting, Leela's in a serious relationship with a guy in Paris, and Nick is, in college, and it's like, how did that all happen? I'm not that old. Oh yeah,
I
am.
I
am.
What kind of granddad are you gonna be?
I think I'm gonna be, I think I'm gonna be like my dad. My dad was Pop-Pop. I'm going with Pop-Pop. And my dad was the pushover. He was the, he was tough with us. But to Pop-Pop.
Love that.
To Pop-Pop.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Soon to be Pop-Pop.
Yeah.
Now, do you pick Pop-Pop?
I pick Pop-Pop.
Okay. So you're a self-appointed
Pop-Pop. Yeah, I'm a self-pop.
Yeah.
I'm a self-pop guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where I'm looking forward to having this little one that I will actually have no responsibility for. I can do whatever I want to do.
Right.
And then
Get him right back.
Here you go. Leasing. You don't know.
It's called revenge.
It's called revenge.
Oh, you're going to be an incredible papa.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, can you imagine a better grandfather than Al?
No, not at all. No. I always remember
it's going to be my kid's papa, too.
Bring him on, you know. But that's the thing, you know. It does go by. And all of a sudden, you know, you're like, where did it go? And you want it back. But it's not coming back.
Well, this was the first year as a father where my son seemed to express an interest in what we do for work. And then he came in for Bring Your Kids to Work Day and was like walking around asking questions on his own.
Does he want to do what you do?
Well, this is the first year where I thought maybe I should start trying to discourage him now. he's like legitimately curious. Yeah. And it's the first time, to your point, where I've sort of seen him as almost an equal. Like he's like, we can talk almost like adults versus up until you hit the third grade, you feel like, he's a kid.
Right.
You know? Even when Jack was in last week, like watching interviews and like digesting the information, processing it, and like asking follow-up questions. Like
he's got a chance to work, you know, with Lester at the Nightly News Kids thing, like Dell, and he's just loved it. And I helped him in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, like now, he just does everything himself. He emails with the producer, he does his own like research, writes his own questions, sets up the Zoom, does the interview. I'm like, how did it go? He's like, oh, it was awesome. You know, and he's interviewing, you know, Paul Rudd for Ant-Man or whatever. I'm like, how was Paul? He's like, he said to say hi, Dad.
Oh my gosh.
By the way, he also told me I was much, much better than the other day.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like your kids now, like what are they into? What's their interest?
My son's a musician, plays the drums and the keyboard. Getting really good at it.
He's in a band.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Does like bar gigs and
Yeah.
He's very good. My daughter's writing articles for the school newspaper, and so there's definitely, even if they don't express it outwardly, there's definitely some interest in telling stories or being a journalist or something like that. For my daughter,
she could be a third generation Geist journalist.
She could.
What's Nick into now?
You know, it's funny. He's into working and exercise. That's, that's basically it.
Those are two things I'm not into.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to get away from it.
Schedule.
You know, for the summer, the second summer, he's been
in the eating
he's
and
been
sitting.
On the grounds crew at City Field.
That's
amazing.
He gets up, takes the subway, he goes, and comes home, and, you know, and then he goes and he does a couple of Pelotons. And literally, since he's been home from college, we can't keep food in the fridge, you know, but
at all.
But yeah, but it's kind of nice. He likes hanging out with us. We said, what do you want to do for summer vacation? He goes, this is my summer vacation. And then you kind of think, all right, good. And then to your point, I never thought any of my kids had interest in anything I was into. And, you know, Courtney's an accomplished chef, and she actually paid attention and she's a better chef than I am now, you know, and there's a lot of pride in that. You know, you just they're going to, you know, they may not all take off at the same rate, the same time, but they find their altitude. And once they're up, they go.
I do think it's interesting that all of us have at least one child who's expressed some sort of interest in the family business so far.
Yeah. Well, that's what they see, you know,
every day.
Well, we've always talked to these Father's Day things about birds and the bees. I think I told you a couple years ago, I took Jackson down to my basement bar. I poured him a Sprite, and we had a little chat about the birds and the bees.
How'd it go?
It went great.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, okay, it went great on my part. I'm not sure about him, but it went great for me. I was able to do it. But with three girls, we had maturation night the other night.
What is it called?
Maturation
night. What's that?
Well, Siri did it with Etta. This is where you learn about the changing ways of your body, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, as a girl, was our female maturation night.
I just didn't know how
a doctor leads it on a Zoom. Oh, and it's like an hour.
Oh. It's through school.
And it's through school. Okay. But this is where we're at. These are the changing. They get past that young age and, you know, they get into the preteen and with their phones and technology and, you know, we had to, if we wanted to learn about something, I had to go to the encyclopedias.
Right. Yeah.
I had encyclopedias and I had to find, you know, if I want to think if it was sex, I would go to S for sex or B for biology and try and learn about things. That was it. I didn't have Google.
No.
No, there was nothing.
So it worries me how much information my kids really know. So when I have that conversation with, hey, do you know about this? They're like, I know about it.
In fact, they're teaching you
something. I've been Googling that for years.
By the way, the least sexy way ever to learn about sex,
yeah.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
Yes. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
a totally academic yes. reading of what happens.
Actually, you would go to the National Geographic.
No, to your point about technology, though, that continues to be my greatest worry as a parent. My kids are small. I mean, you all have older children. Being able to know what they're consuming, who they're interacting with, how they're interacting with how have you navigated that so far?
We have good rules in our house where the phones don't come upstairs mm-hmm. with them at night at
really?
Bedtime. Yeah, they go they go in a kitchen drawer. I mean, they have them all day.
I want to be
like
that.
They have them all day, and then they go in a kitchen drawer where they go upstairs to bed, so they're not up late looking
That's
and
so
stuff.
Smart.
But, you know, there's only so much you can do at the end of the day. You got to trust your kid, inform your kid. If they have questions about something they see, and I'll hop in sometimes. Because, you know, you go on YouTube and you can look up something very innocent in the algorithm.
Right.
Two videos later, you're in some really dark place.
I think to your point, you got to, you know, I mean, if you've instilled it, they're going to experiment. They're going to have friends who experiment. But I think at the end of the day, if you've laid that groundwork, you know, they come back to what mom and dad have talked about.
Yeah. Is it okay to go through their phone?
When my kids
either to check their history or read a text if you suspect foul play.
If you suspect something bad.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you need reasonable cause to go in.
I think the reasonable cause in your households should be a little bit lower than the reasonable cause in society.
Helicopter parenting for our generation is so much more prevalent. That the relationship that I have with my kids is completely different than the relationship I have with my parents. Now, maybe every generation says that. I don't know.
No, you had a relationship with your parents? That's better than
I did, but like really nothing like, you know, and that can be difficult because every parent now wants to be their kid's best friend.
Right.
No.
So then there's a more difficult intersection of parenting because you don't want to disappoint them because you want to be their buddy. So the question is how, especially for you with Lucy, how hard is it for you to find that line of I am your father, but I'm also here for you to answer tough questions and I want you to be able to come to me.
I think we've done a good job with Christina's help, obviously, of finding that place because she does. I don't know what it is, but she tells us everything. I mean, I don't know, probably not everything, but like if something's on her mind, something's bugging her. And
that
George is the same way.
Right.
Like you get to a place where you can read it on your kids too when they come home. How was your day? It's fine. Oh, all right, what happened? And so I think, again, just keeping that open relationship and having a trust. But I agree with you. It's true. I think it is generational where you almost are trying to create perfection for your kids. And someone has a bad thing happened at school that day. And it like takes you down to a place. And how do I fix it? Where you just take a step back and you go, that was just one little moment in time. And tomorrow will be a great day or tonight will be a great night. And that all changes. And you can't. It's like riding the stock market. You can't get worked up about every update. You got to take the long view. And our parents, who I had great parents, they weren't like that.
No,
They didn't know I had a bad day in social studies.
No, that was the thing. You know, I mean, I always remember my dad saying, and look, he was actually a mushball, but he would say, I'm not your friend. I'm your father. You know, and I've always kept that in the back of my mind. I mean, I try to be open, but I also think too, I have a different relationship with Leela than I do with Nick. And Deborah has a different relationship with Nick than she does with Leela. And I think they complement each other. So that you can be you for each kid, what they need.
Yes.
You know, and I think, you know, look, as dads, we want to be everything to our kids, you know. But
you guys still discipline. So how it's difficult to discipline, but still create that trust to where your kids come to you, especially as teenagers, in a trusting environment.
I'll tell you what I've discovered, and I didn't know I had it until I had children. But when I was a kid, just my father's voice. Sometimes my mother, but usually my father's voice. Yep. Like he would change his tone,
drop the octave,
and you knew that if you did one more thing or said one more thing, you might be picking yourself up off the ground. With Dell, doesn't really work with my daughter as much, but with Delano,
do you ever use that voice? Do you have
Oh yeah.
Does it work?
Every time.
See, I think that's an important thing to have.
Every time. And she.
How come it doesn't work with your daughter?
Because I don't think she takes me seriously sometimes.
Okay.
I think.
Daddy. Daddy.
She's like,
well, it's so menacing. It's so menacing.
Right? That's not going to be mean to me. I'm his sweet girl. I call it. Probably doesn't help that I call her sweet girl all the time.
Yeah.
And I also stopped calling her by her nickname this year. Everyone calls her Sibby. Uh-huh. I said to her one day, I was like, sweet girl, Daddy's going to call you Sybil. And she was like, okay. And so that's become her thing.
She likes that.
Oh, loves it. Like sometimes if I slip up and I'm like, Sibby, she's like, Dad, Sybil. I'm like, okay. So I think that's probably why it's harder for me to discipline.
It's funny. We were like that. Nick, out of all the kids, Nick was the only one because he was always Nicky. Mm. And finally, it was freshman year of high school. He said, I'm not Nicky. I'm Nick.
No.
I said, okay. And then you'd slip up and he said, Nick. Okay. All right. I mean, it doesn't hurt that, you know, he's like 6'2".
I was gonna say.
And his voice is three octaves deeper than mine.
You know? That's ruining your head now.
He does. He literally, and that's what I love about being a dad is that your children's ability to make you out of the blue laugh.
Yes.
Like Nick will come over and he'll be like, hello, little man. And kiss me on the top of the forehead. But he's this genuinely sweet, sweet kid, and who doesn't realize that he could probably wipe the floor with me, you know.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
When you're hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to connect with candidates faster. Plus, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/today. Just go to Indeed.com/today right now and support this show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/today. Conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My parents were up a couple weeks ago. And that particular Saturday, not an exaggeration, we had lacrosse, we had gymnastics, we had two birthday parties.
Sounds like my Saturday.
And halfway through, Dad's like, man, you guys are running a shuttle service. You guys do this every weekend. Yeah. And in the moment, I'm like, oh, that's right. You didn't show up.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw my father at an event, it was a graduation, a funeral, or a wedding. Like, they were there for the big stuff.
But in fairness to your folks, there probably weren't as many things.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we program our kids and listen, it's stuff they want to do and I get it. And but man, I'm the oldest one here. It was literally go outside. You don't come home until the street lights come on. There were no play dates. There was no soccer camp there was the street camp.
Yeah,
it was a camp at the park.
You ran up
there's nothing. There's nothing like, you know, we Andrew Jackson High School. In the summer, a quarter a session for pool to go to the pool. There was none of that because we didn't. Our parents weren't programming everything for us, you know. And I think there's got to be a happy medium.
Be a reverence that we had for our fathers, let's say. And mothers, but just for the sake of discussion, our dads showing up to sporting events. I knew if I was playing a little league game, I would see my dad like sitting, you know, I'd make me nervous because I didn't see him. If he was, and he'd be in a suit. He came from work. I never saw my dad without a tie on almost ever, and I would see him and it'd make me so nervous. And so I had this like reverence
I see Jackson every day, all day. I text him. Yeah. Siri's like, he's at school. I'm like, yeah. So what? He'll get my text. Like, it's crazy the access that I have to Jackson compared to what my dad had for me. And I wonder if that changes sort of Jackson's perspective of me. I wonder if he'll have that sort of reference.
You think you've demystified fatherhood so much?
Maybe I've demystified fatherhood.
I don't think so.
Both of my fathers are like, you know, they're massive, massive figures in my life.
But this is who you are to him.
Yeah.
You know, your relationship with your dad is different because it's a different time.
It's a different time.
You know, and you know, you're being you and you're being that loving father. And he's gonna love that. He knows that, and he accepts that. He expects it now because you've set this bar for him, which is fantastic. And that's just gonna grow when he becomes down the line.
I just wonder if it's still a special when we
of course it is.
Everything in our kids' lives. Do they even care?
No,
yeah, we're omnipresent.
Because if you don't, they'll know. They'll
yeah, it's
they'll
I guess
know.
When we're not there, they
I don't think it's listen, we are our parents. And our parents were who they were because of that time. Yeah. You know, my dad had to work during the day.
Yeah, we talked
about
this. Mine too.
You know, I remember him coming to a science fair that I had a project. I was in the final three. And he showed up in his bus uniform. And he was like, he changed his shift. And it was like, whoa, you know. We knew it. We knew that was what they had to do. We're fortunate. We have a much more flexible schedule to be fathers. We can be more accessible to our kids, more available. And that's a blessing. A lot of people in this time and age still don't have that. And so we're really fortunate.
I had that same feeling you're talking about, born out of the pandemic, where we were home so much together. We were so lucky to be safe and healthy, but we knew every twist and turn of their lives. And then that continued outside the pandemic. And at some point I said to Christina, are we too close to our kids? Because I know everything that's happening at every minute,
like
every day.
Like parentally embedded.
Yeah, and she said, there's no such thing. What a valuable thing that we're able to give our children to be there for them. And I do remember my dad worked really hard. He coached our little league teams. I didn't appreciate it till within the last 10 years with my own kids. And I started doing the math and I thought, he worked in New York City. Mm-hmm. My little league game was at 5. So he caught the short line bus at the Port Authority, let's call it 3:30. Got home, took his tie off, put his little red shirt uniform on, and coached Lily. I said, that he was there. Yeah. He was committed to it. I knew he was, but to think about what it took to be there, it's so meaningful. And that gives you your answer, which is your kids, if they don't recognize it now, they will someday, how much you were there for
them. People always say, it's not quality. It's not quantity, it's quality. No, it's quantity.
It's quality.
You know, there's no question about that. You know, the more you're there, the more they appreciate it. You know, you're living your life and you're thinking everything's great. You've got everything off. And all of a sudden, this out of the blue health event happens. And fortunately, I didn't know how sick I was.
Oh, yeah.
But Lila, who lives in Paris, flew in and really was at Deborah's side. And she stayed first 5 nights. She slept at the hospital. And you know, it's funny, it was the first time that I had this vulnerability about being a father because, and I don't think it's because I feel this macho thing, but you don't necessarily want to seem vulnerable to your children.
Right.
You want to be that strength that they need. And when you're in a hospital bed and you can barely get up, there's this part of you that almost doesn't want them to see you like that.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember when my dad was ill and it crushed me. You know, it was like,
mine too. I remember that.
Yeah. You've been through it.
And I remember thinking, I don't want my kids to ever see me like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I'd gone through that with my dad and, it was hard. This was the probably the toughest. It was tougher seeing that, seeing Nick scared, you know, Courtney scared, and Lila being there and just worrying and trying to help Deborah and her mom. That was more terrifying to me than anything else. And I really got through that because not only of Deborah, obviously, but, you know, Leela and you know, my brother came, yeah. You know, with Chris and my, you know, Courtney and Nick was there. But, you know, it was.
That was a scary time.
Yeah, you know, and it was, I was telling Craig this, there was, Deborah just said a couple of days ago, you know, because we were talking about Father's Day and I always hang my clothes up the night before, the day before, because, you know, it just makes it easier. And I came in and she was kind of crying. And I said, what's wrong? She goes, I remember you had hung up your suit to get ready to go to work. And then the next day you were in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if you were ever going to come to put that suit back on. You know, and Leela and I were looking and I was going to take the suit down. And Leela said, no, Mom, you got to leave it up. You got to leave it up.
Like, as you sit here now, how do you feel about being a father?
You know, it makes you really appreciate. And that's the other thing it's something I've been dealing with in that, I'm going to be 69 this year. My dad was 69 when he died.
Oh.
So it's a weird feeling. Yeah. It's like, am I going to beat the over under?
Listen, with all you've been through,
I know.
I mean, you're going to live until at least 90.
Well, new lease.
We got a bunch of new parts.
We'll see.
You're Benjamin Button's your way right back to health.
But I do appreciate when these kids come home, you know, that it's your legacy, you know? But it's funny how, and I'm going to be curious because how grandparents, it all of a sudden changes. Because I'm thinking when I would see my parents with, especially my dad, with my kids, I'm like, who are you?
Right, unrecognizable.
You know, it's like, wow. Yeah. You know, and it was great because Deborah would say, you know, your dad and your mom are, you know, you have to have a talk with them because they're giving them too much junk food. I said, why don't you have a talk with them?
Right.
I'm not going in there. No.
Well, you know what? Here's the fatherhood.
And cheers, guys.
Even more importantly.
We should have another beer if it's really the fatherhood.
Here's to grandfatherhood.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
What an honor, man.
I'll let you guys know what it's like because it is coming for you.
That kid's hitting
but
the lottery.
For a while.
I was just saying.
Hitting the lottery.
According to Maturation Night, not for a long, long time.